Canto 15. The will of grace, into which liquefies always the love that breathes in the right way, as does cupidity in its own guise, dissolved into ill will, now set the stay of silence on that sweet lyre, and made still the sacred strings that heaven renders taut and loosens with its right hand. When I fill their ears with my prayers that are justly wrought, how can the sounds be deaf, these spirits who, to make me beg of them, with one accord fall dumb? His grief indeed is always new, that robs himself of love forever stored up there, and takes the love that cannot last. As through the still and cloudless evening sky, sometimes a sudden fire will run so fast, you'd think it were a star attracted by the notion that it might change place, except that where it came from no star has been lost, and only for a blink is this one kept, before, by vanishing, it pays the cost of its velocity. So from the horn of that cross on the right down to its base, there streaked a single star abruptly born out of the splendid cluster there in place, and this gem wasn't from its ribbon torn. Running across the radial strip it glowed like fire through alabaster. So the shade of great Anchises, carrying his load of fatherly affection, reached and made himself known to Aeneas deep within Elysium, and, if I may translate, the shade in Latin said this to begin. My blood, the flow of God's grace far too great to measure. Who but you has ever seen a second time the leaves of heaven's gate swing open? Thus the light spoke. I had been fixed on it. Then I turned my eyes again to my great lady, and was twice amazed. By that speech, first, and now by her face, when I saw her smiling eyes, and how they blazed. I thought I touched with mine my deepest grace in paradise. The soul then added joy to his first words with words I couldn't place, but still they gave delight in his employ to sight and hearing, so deep was his speech. Not from his choice, but from what had to be. His meaning was concealed beyond my reach, for his thought far outsoared mortality. And when at last the bow of burning love relaxed enough to let his speech descend to where the subject he was making of might fall within our scope to comprehend, the first thing that I understood was, Blessed be you, the three in one, who to my seed show so much favor. Then there was the rest. My son, it is a long and happy need, drawn from the reading of the mighty book, whose black and white are never-changing things, that you have satisfied here when we look through this light and we speak. The light that sings our thanks to him, by whose will you are clad for this high flight with your befitting wings. You think that any thought you might have had comes down to me from him, the primal one, even as unity must radiate all numbers which go forth and get things done, as five and six, but always illustrate that first one. Thus you do not ask me who I am, or why I seem the gladdest soul of all this happy throng. Well, good for you, for your belief is right, and here the whole of what is thought comes back before you think out of the mirror. For both great and small, this thing is true. But so that I may drink to quench my sweet wish, satisfying all the holy love for which I stay alert on constant watch, let your strong, fearless voice, so full of joy and unafraid of hurt, sound forth the will to which I have no choice of answer, the desire I am ordained to meet with my response. And so I turned to Beatrice, who without my speech had gained my mind's import, and smiled, a sign that burned to make the wings grow on my will. I said, Love and intelligence, after the first equality appeared to you, were led each to a poise where neither was dispersed by the other, since the sun that lit and warmed you both with even heat and light was so unbiased no imbalance can be formed. In mortals, will and faculty don't go together, for their wings have not the plume so equally arranged. I, as you know, am mortal. The discrepancy assumes in me the form of feeling. I must give my heartfelt thanks for your paternal vow of greeting. Tell me, Topaz, as you live, gem of this precious jewel, your name. My bow, who made me joyful just by coming near, I was your root. His answer thus began and went on. Know this much, now you are here. We are connected, through a single man. Around the hill 100 years and more. Down there on the first terrace he is gone. He was my son, and also he was your great-grandfather. His labors have gone on a long time. It is fit you shorten them with your good works. Your Florence in those times knew peace inside its ancient outward hem, where still at 9 and noon they hear the chimes. But she was chaste then, flaunting not a gem, no bracelet, no tiara, no fine gown, rich with embroidery meant to be seen more than the wearer warranted. The town as yet lacked daughters certain to demean a father with the fear they were too young to marry, and the dowry was too high. No house that still looked empty shared among a family or anyone to try outdoing Sardanapalus. Not yet did Rome give points to Florence on the rise, as one day it will see the same sun set, a fall worse than its own in its own eyes. Gualdrada's father, old Bellincion Berti, in humble bone and leather clad I saw, and from the glass with no paint on her face his lady came. Good men were glad to wear plain buff. Their women spun the flax, fortunate women. Then they all knew where they would be buried, home ground at their backs, and not the soil of exile. They were there, not elsewhere, with their husbands loading sacks of gold in France, while one would tend the crib, soothing the new child with the baby talk, father and mother love, mopping its bib, guarding her hatchling like a mother hawk. Another from the distaff drawing skeins would tell the servants stories of how Troy through Rome and then Fiesole remains alive in Florence. We take little joy today in shameless women, or in men who are not honest. But in those days they would have been freaks. Such things were unknown then. It would have been as if, the other way, great Romans such as Cincinnatus came to us, or women like Cornelia. To such a fair and civil life, where fame was all for peace, the public life by far more loyal, to so sweet a domicile, Mary consigned me where my mother called her name in pain, and in the ancient style of your old baptistry I was installed as Christian and as Cacciaguida both, brothers Moronto and Eliseo, the future wife to whom I pledged my troth, Ferrara, in the Valley of the Po bred her. Her family name lives in your stem, for it was Alighieri. Corrado joined France's Louis, and then I joined them to go on the crusade. The emperor made me a knight, so greatly did I earn his favor as we battled that false law whose people, because our popes never learn, still rob you of your rightful holy land. And there that foul breed disentangled me from the deceitful world, which has unmanned so many souls for love of it. Set free by martyrdom, I found the peace you see.